Amen. May God bless the reading and hearing of the Word as Jesus gives His hometown neighbors and family members the slip just to get out of town. All pastors and preachers have to be aware of the need to know how to do that at any point in their career, depending on what may be said on any given Sunday and where you're at. But anyway, I first learned about the term NIMBY when I got my first job in politics. I was working on a PhD in political philosophy, and they got a call from the governor's office in New Jersey. And immediately, after thinking about it for at least 2 minutes, Amy and I decided to take that job and get involved in politics and leave the PhD behind. Yeah, I said I was going to go finish it, but I never did, all right? Like a million people, okay? It's okay. I'm forgiven. But I got involved in politics. And you learn about NIMBY real quick in politics, because there's always good things people want to do to help other people out. NIMBY means, hey, I love all your great ideas. Not in my backyard, though. Hey, let's build some rehab facilities. This is a hot thing now, you know, with drug addiction. We just passed a new criminal justice law, and part of that bill is going to help us, enable us to build more recovery facilities, rehab sites, that more people can get rehab and recovery programs than having to go to jail. Now, let's help them with their disease rather than confine them and then let them out even in worse shape. That's a great idea, isn't it? You think it's a great idea? Good, because we're going to put the first one in your parents' backyard. Is that okay? Not in my backyard. It's a great idea. Not in my backyard. You know, this is true for all kinds of things. We're going to move the county jail, by the way. It's okay. It's not just you guys. We're going to move the county jail to right next Bruce and Mary Beth's house out on the condo farm. It's a good spot for a jail, don't you think? Right? Maximum security. Yep. It's a great idea. Everybody agree with that? Unfortunately, they said, great idea too. Not in my backyard. And on it goes. Mental health facilities, all kinds of things we need to help people in need in our culture. They're all great ideas. Just try to find a place for them. And that's why when you're driving out in the middle of nowhere and look out across the horizon, you see a prison. Out as far away from any other civilization as it can get. Unfortunately, it would do so much better to have rehab facilities, recovery facilities, juvenile facilities, mental health facilities in the communities so that people could actually be interacting with them on a daily basis. Very hard to accomplish. Not in my backyard. Well, Jesus goes home to Nazareth, right? His ministry's just gotten off the ground. He was baptized by John the Baptist. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He survived days in the wilderness being tempted by Satan, and he starts his ministry. He gets a little cocky as he goes off and starts performing all kinds of miracles, and people are following him, and he's teaching them, and he's healing people. I think I'm going to go back home again. What a great idea. Go back home. So he goes back home. On the Sabbath, he goes to the synagogue. He pulls out the scrolls of Isaiah, and he starts reading them to the people. Right? I have been anointed by the Holy Spirit to bring good news to the poor. I. Well, that's what Isaiah wrote. It's about the coming of the Messiah. When the Messiah comes, this is what he'll do. So you'll know it when he comes. Jesus reads it, sits down, and says, that is me. I have come. I am the Messiah. And they say, ha! Joseph and Mary's kid has gone off the deep end. He thinks he's the Messiah, right? Yet we were the ones who healed his knee when he fell and skinned it, you know, a few years ago. Oh, remember back when he was little and our daughter was his nanny? She used to change his diaper. Let me tell you, that wasn't a pretty thing. He's no Messiah. Right? Remember when he picked up that stick, right, and he was running and he accidentally cut my little daughter's arm? I mean, he did it. Committed an act of violence. He stabbed her with the stick. Can't be the Messiah. Oh, we can think of 1,000 reasons why he's not the Messiah. He's right there in their backyard. And they're saying, NIMBY. Not in our backyard. The Messiah ain't coming from here. You've heard it said, haven't you? What good can come from Nazareth? Nothing. So they drive him out of town. Well, it's a common trait among human nature to not accept anything that makes you uncomfortable in your backyard, including the reality of the spiritual presence of Jesus Christ. Have you really gone that far yet? Have you really let Jesus completely move in to your backyard? right here. This is your backyard, by the way, in case you were wondering. Has he already come in and taken over? Has he completely changed you into another little Jesus? That's what Christian means now. It means little Christ. Hadn't happened yet. Working on it. Just like all of us. Right? Just like all of us. But we've got to think about it. We're not there. He's got a lot more ground to take over. I got a lot of things in my backyard that probably aren't helping him in his ministry. You know what I'm saying? Starting with my will. My self-will. This summer for my 60th birthday. I know I'm 60. Wow. Can you believe that? Wow. Super Sunday. Praise God. I made it to 60. Amen. Anyway, for my 60th birthday party, Amy and I went to New York. And among other things, we saw Bruce Springsteen show on Broadway. He's my favorite musical artist, and it's now showing on Netflix. I recommend it that after you finish reading one chapter of the Gospels, then you watch that, and you'll see how much they intersect. It's available on Netflix. Anyway, he starts out the show this way, in this very simple way, right? He starts out with this saying, everybody has a love-hate relationship with your hometown. Everybody has a love-hate relationship with your hometown. You love it because it's where you grew up. It's where you were raised. You hate it because you got to go somewhere else. You just got to get away. And in order for you to grow, expand, discover, you got to get away from your hometown. You got a love-hate relationship. For Bruce, he says, look, I know this well. He goes, I'm Mr. Born to Run. That was his greatest hit in his best album, 1975. It's a wide album. It's hanging up in my office if you want to come see it. I'm Mr. Born to Run. I grew up, loved my town in New Jersey. It's where all my memories are. But I couldn't wait to get out of there, to make something of my life, to start a career, to become a star. I'm Mr. Born to Run. And then as he ends that little segment, he reminds us, and now, today, Mr. Born to Run lives 10 minutes from the house he grew up in. It's a love-hate relationship. We all have that in one way or another. You know, we also have it with ourselves. Did you ever think about that? Ooh, sorry. Yeah, I know. Oh, well, let's just watch the game. No, we do. We have a love-hate relationship with ourselves. When we're honest, and that's okay. It's telling us areas we need to grow in. We're not content with where we have fallen short. We're not the person that we want to be yet, are we? We're still growing. Amen? We're getting there. Sometimes we're heading in the right direction, but sometimes we know we're not. I hate when that happens. I hate when I act out in ways or do things or say things that take me farther away from giving my heart to Jesus and reclaiming some for myself. I'm still seeking, and I'm still tripping up, and I'm still falling. And I hate that part about me because I want to be everything for Jesus. I want to be perfect for Jesus. And I can't do that. Only He can. And that means I have to surrender more. And I hate that I can't surrender more today. But I'm working on it. But because of that love-hate relationship, we also have a love-hate relationship with Jesus. No, I'm serious. We don't have a love-hate relationship with the Jesus that we've created on our own so that it fits perfectly into our present life. All our prejudices and biases are confirmed by my Jesus. He says, I'm living just fine. I'm doing all the right things. I'm doing all my good deeds. I'm checking off everything on the checklist. And yes, the people I hate, He would hate too. The people I don't want to hang around with, He didn't either. Right? The people that make me mad made Him mad too. But that's a lie. And we know it. We know that's not Jesus. That's Bob Jesus and Susan Jesus, right? That's Ethan Jesus. That's not Jesus Christ. That's our Jesus. We'll let Him in our backyard anytime. He's my best friend. He's just like me. Oh, that other Jesus? That one in the Gospels? The one Pastor Bob always talks about? I don't know about that one. That's confusing. Because you know what? He hates anybody. And He wants to hang around with everybody. And He's willing to take any risk there is to spread God's love. That bothers me. That's not what my Jesus looks like. I'm not sure I like that other Jesus. I'm not sure I want to let him in my backyard. Yeah, you do. You want to have a super life, don't you? I mean, you can have a good life living for yourself. But don't you want a super life? Don't you still, Carol, want more? Do you still want more? I want more. I want to go from good, sometimes great. I want to go to super. I want to go to sacred. I want to go to holy. I want to go to Christian. Disciple. So I have to learn where I need to grow. I'm going to end today with three things I thought about. That if we really want to start giving Jesus everything, here's three ways to do it. Three signs that we're doing it. Yeah. Jesus taught us these three things. The first one, get up every morning and commit to making yourself last. Make everybody else that you encounter today more important than you. Everybody. Put yourself as a servant for all those that you'll encounter today. And don't ask to be served by anybody. Serve everyone. In one way or another, there's a way to serve everyone that you're going to encounter. We've said it. Sometimes it's just a smile and not a frown. Sometimes it's just a kind look and not a mean look. Sometimes it's a hug. Sometimes it's 5 minutes of conversation. And sometimes it's more than that. And sometimes it's with people that you don't like. And sometimes it's in places that you really don't want to go. And sometimes it causes risks in your life that you really didn't want to take. But that's the sign to go to super. Make yourself last. Become a servant, he said. Right? If you want to be first, become last. If you want to be first, become last. So that's one. The second one, oh, yeah, dang it. Trade in your self-will every morning for God's will. Okay, you have plans every morning when you wake up, and some of them you have to do, basically. I hate saying that, but it's true. I mean, you have to keep commitments to people. You should. There are things in there you should do in God's name. But that doesn't mean you can't give them all to God. You know, you're going to a doctor's appointment today? Be a spiritual minister for your doctor. Trust me, he or she could use it. Show them some love. You probably don't get it very often. What about the receptionist? What about someone else sitting in the waiting room? How do you show love to that? That's just a normal doctor's appointment turned into a sacred moment. Right? God's will, not your will. So every morning when you get up, you got something, Jerry? Okay, I see you. I see you thinking, brother. Trade in self-will for God's will. Make your planner God's planner. Right? And be open to changes that come along during the day. Don't be so obsessive and compulsive that you can't change something on your planner, Bob. So that's the second thing. And the last thing is this. Maybe the hardest. Love win. Let love win within you every day. We were talking about it in our Vine Street Village class today, the big idea. Jesus' default for every single person that he encountered every single day of his life. Could you get that? No exception. Every single person, every single day. Everybody got that? His default was to love them. That's his first reaction to people, no matter who they are, no matter what religion they are, what color they are, what language they speak, how bad they've been. Thank you, Caroline, for that message. How good they've been, how bad they've been, what they've done to you, what they haven't done for you. Love them first. Just love them. Start with that, Cheryl. Leave the judgment for later when you decide whether you want to go out to eat with them or not. That's okay. Just love them first. That will cause all the other things to line up perfectly. We spend so much of our time and energy, our angst, our anxiety, our strength, judging people, deciding whether we want to like them or love them or not. Love them. You don't have to like them first. Love them. Family members, right? Love them. You don't have to like them. Love them. Neighbors? Jerry, when we put that recovery facility in your backyard, I hope you love those guys. They haven't seen love in a while. They haven't seen the love of Christ, right? That'll give you a chance to do that. Just love them first. After they steal from you, love them. Tear up your car, love them. Right? Break down the fence, love them. Right? Don't worry. You don't need all those TVs anyway. It's not easy. But it's our life that Jesus asks us to live, because it's the way he lived. He loved everyone, unconditionally, all-forgiving, never-ending. So there you go. Three little lessons, right? Did you get them? Make yourself last every day. Be a servant. Trade in your self-will for God's will, and let love win every day. And then guess what? Jesus is going to come move into your backyard, and you're going to embrace him. And you're going to say, make me again, Lord. Make my life super for God's name. Amen. Amen.